This morning's scripture is John from John chapter 21, 1 through 14. After I read the scripture, after we read this, Don Stolzfus will be introducing our speaker, John. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "Going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with some fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
It's my pleasure to introduce to you John Wambora. He lived in the same village Judy and I did, although he was 4 at the time, so we didn't interact a lot with him then. Although some of his family were some of the first Mennonite believers in the Tanzania Mennonite Church. So he's now the second generation taking over leadership. He became General Secretary of the Tanzania Mennonite Church this past March. He is a husband and a father of 5 children. He worked for the United Nations for 10 years and the U.S. Embassy for 3 years as an administrator. He was ordained in 2009, felt called to leave his positions in government and work for the church. He is now leading the Tanzania Mennonite Church in challenging directions. May God bless you with wisdom and strength as you face the challenges in the future. Let's have a brief prayer. Dear Lord, give Brother John words, fill him with your spirit, and he will be receptive to what he has to say.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As I've been introduced, my name is John Wambora. I'm a pastor ministering with the Tanzania Mennonite Church. I've been a pastor since 2009, and for the past 3 years I've been ministering in a congregation named the Yantira Mennonite Church. Then this year I was elected the General Secretary of the church, which now has called me to move from that congregation to the headquarters of the church, which is Musoma, where Don and George were married in 1971. So today I'm going to share a word with you, and I'll be speaking about listening to God. Listening to God. As we've read from the book of John, this is a story of Jesus and his disciples just Jesus appearing to them the third time after he was raised from dead. There are a few things which I would like to share with you from these words. Now, I start from verse 5, where Jesus is calling these people, the disciples, from offshore while they are in the sea. He called them friends. So Jesus calling his disciples friends in a humble way, friendly way, but these disciples were not yet able to discover the man on the shore calling them friends was Jesus. They didn't know that. So, that is the reason why I want to speak to you about listening to God, so that you can be able to discover the voice of the Lord when he's calling you, the voice of Jesus when he's speaking to you, the voice of the Holy Spirit when he's also speaking to you. So I found two words here, listening and hearing. Then I was struggling, which comes first? Do I need to hear so that I can be able to listen, or I need to listen so that I can be able to hear? Then while struggling between the two, I came to know that listening comes first. And it's give one's attention to a sound. Pay attention, be attentive, to keep one's ear open. Take a notice of an act on what someone says. That is listening. Is to be alert and ready to hear something. So listening prepares you to hear something. So in this case, there must be someone speaking who is making an effort using his energy and skills to convey a message for you to hear. But for you to hear, you don't need any energy to grasp what is he saying, but you only need to have skills and to pay attention and to be patient so that you can be able to understand what is he saying. So then that one takes me to the second word here, where is perceive with the ear the sound made by someone or something. To identify the sound of speech and process them into words and sentences. So the hearing is done inside. Then you need to process those words so that you can be able to have a meaning, what is he saying. But now if you hear well or correctly, it will now enable you to respond back. So listening will lead someone into hearing for him to take an action or to respond. And that one takes me to the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Paul writes that, so then faith comes from hearing the message. Faith come from hearing the message, and the message comes through preaching Christ. So there must be someone preaching for me to listen and hear and understand and build the faith on Christ. How do you begin to hear and recognize God's voice? You need to have a seeking heart. For you to hear and recognize the voice, you need to have a seeking heart. But why should we listen and why should we hear? We need to listen because we are subjected to different choices and decisions to make in our everyday life. So, for you to make the right decision, to make the right choice, you need to listen and hear and understand. Then you'll be guided and you'll make a decision which we call guided decisions, informed decisions. So they are informed decisions because you've heard or you read or you got that message from someone or from something. Then, if we want to recognize God's voice, We need to have a seeking heart. A seeking heart. From the Old Testament, David had this kind of heart. He once wrote in Psalms 63 verse 1, he said, "In my heart, I long for you as I would long for a stream in a scorching desert." Someone with a thirst of water in the desert, looking, longing for water. That is a picture of you as a Christian who is seeking to hear the voice of God. You need to have that in your own heart. Then you have to have that seeking heart in order to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, to listen to God. If you want to hear God's voice, you need to seek Him like David. So, it is not easy that you want to hear or want to listen to God and then there is no any effort you are making to have that seeking heart inside you. If that is not existing in you, then God's word will be just coming in, going out. It will not make any sense. And that's why you may find some people are not feeling like, should I go to the church? Why should I go? Then I don't need to go. So they stay at home. But for those who are seeking to listen to the voice of the Lord, will have to go because they know that is the right place where I will hear God speaking to me through His word. So, you need to be honest with God. Tell Him any frustrations and fears or doubts you may have about hearing from Him. So if you have any frustrations, if you have any doubts, if you have any fear about listening to God, then be honest to Him. Tell Him. He'll also respond back to you. He'll give you. He'll encourage you. He'll give you comfort. He'll create a space for you to listen. But also, He'll bring someone who can speak to you in your way of understanding. So that was the one item of if we want to listen to God, what should we do? The second item is that you need to read the Bible. So you need to set time for you to read the Bible. Because the word of God speaks to you in your own context. When you read it carefully, in a quiet time, in a better way, then the word will speak to you. Because the word is a living thing, is alive, it can speak itself. The Holy Spirit can inspire those words into your heart. And you can be able to understand and to listen to the voice of the Lord when He speaks to you. So He can speak to you through someone's voice, like now I'm speaking to you. The Lord can speak to you through my voice. But when you read the Bible, also God speaks to you. Also, you need to be a good listener. Hearing God's voice requires one major thing: listening. Listening. If you want to hear God's voice, then you need to have listening skills. While it may sound easy, actually, making time to sit still can be a challenge in your super busy world. Our world, we have this word busy, busy, busy. Every time we are busy, we have schedules. So we don't have time to sit down in a quiet time with the Lord, listening to Him. So you need to have good listening skills in order to hear what God is speaking to you. It is hard to get quiet and even harder to stay that away because of the programs we are having at family level, workplaces, in our churches, and different places. So, we are so busy and we are fully occupied. But we need to set aside time to listen to God, to allow God to speak to us. We have a lot of challenges in our lives, but we need God to be the source of the answers. In our Sunday school this morning, we are just sharing, and the teacher who was teaching ask a question whether the way we are living, are we able to make a difference between a false prophet and the right prophet? And then while thinking about it, is like, do we have time to listen to God, who is able to tell us who is wrong and who is false prophet and who is the right prophet? So if we don't have time to sit down and listen to God, it will be difficult to be able to know the difference between the two. But also, there are times we listen to our feelings. We don't listen to the voice of the Lord, but we listen to our own feelings. How we feel and we respond to those feelings instead of listening to the voice of the Lord and responding to that voice. So we need to be good listeners in order to be able to hear what God is speaking to us. Hearing from God is about more than just turning off the cell phone and getting away from the doors. It requires a quiet heart. God speaks through our hearts, not through our mind. So he need the heart which is quiet. It means becoming still enough on the inside despite craziness of the outside. So we need quiet time inside. So if we are stressed, if we are occupied, we are busy, we have a lot of thinking and thoughts about different things happening around us, if we don't spare time and create the quietness in our hearts, it will be difficult to hear the voice of the Lord talking to us. But also, for you to hear God's voice, you need patience. You need patience, and you have to practice that patience. All of this takes time, effort, and patience. Learning to hear, recognize, and understand the ways God speaks doesn't happen overnight. It may take several years before you are completely comfortable with hearing and recognize God's voice. No matter how long it takes, be confident that He has heard your prayers and will respond. So keep on praying God to give you a heart which is quiet and the ability to listen to Him and to hear Him. Lastly, out of the five is that obey God. As He speaks to you, you need to obey Him. Hearing from God doesn't mean much if we don't obey. It doesn't mean anything. But it makes more sense when we hear from Him and we obey what He is asking us to do. And that one is also a difficult part for our side as human beings. There are times we can hear the voice of God speaking to us, but obeying what He's instructing or what He's asking us, then it becomes a little bit difficult. But many people constantly wonder if what they hear is really from God. This keeps them from taking action. The fear of being wrong prevents them from ever having the opportunity to be right. So there are times you feel maybe this is not right, maybe it is right. So instead of taking the action, responding to that God's call, we fear, and we fear to take the action because if we take action, we may be wrong. But what we know is that if you take the action with a good intention, intending to please God, He will guide you through. He will help you to do the right decisions. He will not allow you to go and do the wrong decisions. So He will guide you. He will protect you. Because he's the one saying that, fear not, because I'm your Lord. I will lead you. I will guide you. So He will guide. But to be guided by God, we have to take action. Now, from what we read from the book of John, chapter 21, let's learn a few things there. That Jesus was on the shore and the disciples, seven of them, were in the boat on the sea, fishing. They labored the whole night, struggling to get fish. They struggled, but they couldn't manage to get any fish. And these are experienced fishermen, who have been fishing 3 years before they became disciples. They have been fishing. They are experienced. But this time, this night, they overnight, but nothing, they were not able to get anything. Then they are frustrated. They decide, maybe we have to go back. Then we failed. The last minute, when they despair that they are going to get nothing, that is the time when Jesus appeared to them. When they are completely frustrated. So Jesus showed Himself to them seasonably. When we see on verse 4, He says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Early in the morning, the whole night they have labored for nothing. Now early in the morning, Jesus appeared to them, but they didn't recognize Him. When this morning was now come after a fruitless night toil, Jesus stood on the shore, Christ's time of making himself known to his people is when they are most at a loss. When they think they have lost it themselves, he will let them know that they have not lost him. So when you are at a stage of desperation, you've lost everything. You think, now I am nobody anymore. That is the time when Jesus appeared to you to show that you've lost everything, but not Jesus. He is there for you, no matter what. So weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes if Christ comes in the morning. So you can weep the whole night, but if the morning comes, Jesus comes, then you have comfort and joy. Their disciples, having their work before them, were yet at sea in toil and peril. It is a comfort to us today, when our passage is rough and stormy, that our master is at shore and we are hastening to him. So if you hear the voice of the Lord calling you from any situation you are going through, it is your time to stand and walk towards him. So we could see these disciples in the sea, desperately frustrated, but they see someone on the shore calling them. They didn't recognize him. They might have assumed that is someone, a fisher buyer, coming to buy our fish. So he's just talking to us, waiting for us to go and sell fish to him. Jesus himself showed himself to the disciples gradually. The disciples, though they had been intimately acquainted with him, knew not at all at once that it was Jesus. Expecting to see him and not looking intently upon him, they took him for some common person waiting the arrival of the boat. Not Christ is often nearer to us than we think he is, and so we shall find afterwards to our comfort. We need to listen to him. There are times we think Jesus is far away. When you speak to the Sunday school children, they normally ask, where is Jesus? Jesus is in heaven. And where is the heaven? Above the roof? Above the sky? Where is that heaven? So if we can't see him, it means he's so far. So how can he be of help if he's that much far? So we need Jesus of the skin, who is closer. I can touch him. I can feel him. I can talk to him. So it is difficult for children to conceive this concept. But for adults, the distance we think in our mind is quite opposite. Jesus is in our hearts. Jesus lives in us. Jesus is the Word. We walk with the Word. We live with the Word in our houses. So Jesus is with us. Wherever we are, he is walking with us. No matter in what situation we are going through, Jesus is walking with us. He is the one who's guiding our walk, guiding our thinking, guiding our ways of doing things. What we need is to listen to him. He showed himself to them by an instance of his pity. Imagine on verse 5, the way he called them. On verse 5, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" King James said, "Children, haven't you any meat?" So Jesus calling his disciples, "Friends, children." He is still calling you and me today. Children, friends, do you have any need? Did you get your food? Did you get a job to do? Do you have your basic needs? The same Jesus who asked the disciples this question is here today asking you the same question. Have you caught any fish? The compilation is very familiar. He speaks unto them as unto his sons, with the care and tenderness of a father. Children, though he had now entered up upon his exalted state, he spoke to his disciples with as much kindness and affection as ever. Children, friends, not with the authority, with the instructions, no, with compassion, with love, with care, children. So no matter how you are, no matter what you do, no matter how far you are with God, it doesn't matter to Jesus. He still calls you a friend, my child. He wants you. The question is very kind. Have you any fish? Have you got any meat? He asks a tender father concerning his children whether or not he may take care of their supply. So wherever he asks that question, it means he is ready to provide. But he wants you to ask for what you need. He knows what you need, but God is different. God wants you to ask for your needs. Ask for your support. What do you want him to do for you? So he is asking whether they had caught any fish or any meat. He asks as a tender father concerning his children whether they can be provided with what with that which is fit for them. That is, that if they be not, he may take care of their supply. Not, the Lord is for the body. So Christ takes cognizance of the temporal wants of his people. And he promised them not only grace sufficient, but food convenient. So by the grace, but also for the sufficiency of your needs. There are times we ask, how much surprise is God having for the whole world? If we all need food at one particular time, will God provide? So to God, God is enough. God is sufficient. He has everything. But God has people. But then the question comes, if he has everything, why we Christians, some of us are poor? Why do we still have needs? Why are we not having enough? Then he meant to be God, the provider, who give according to his will. So ask from him, you will get what you want. He showed himself to the disciples by an instance of his power. And his perfect, and this perfected the discovery on verse 6. Verse 6, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. He has the power. Telling them now, you've labored the whole night, you got nothing, but just throw your nets on the right hand side, you will get some. He called them my children. Do you have anything? We don't have. As he called them my children and asked the question, the disciples, because they didn't recognize the voice, they didn't understand whether they were talking to Jesus, yet they just answered, no. But he called them, my children, do you have any? If they knew the person asking them was Jesus, I'm sure Peter would have answered, Lord, we have nothing. He would have showed that respect that he's talking to the Lord. Even John was, oh Lord, we have nothing. But they just answered, no. Because after, who is that anyway? Why is he asking? Why is he concerned about us? But Jesus telling them, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. You've gone through a lot of challenges and difficulties and questions. You need the help. You struggled by your own ability. You ask different people. None of them has helped you in any way. But here Jesus stand and calling you and telling you, throw your nets on the other side, on the right side. So if you listen to God, he will give you the right answer, the right way of doing things for you to get what you need. If you listen to your ability, your mental ability, sometimes you do what you think is right, but it is not right. You use the means which are humanly means, but he has his own means, his own ways of doing things. So no matter in what situation you are going through, he is still calling you. What I'm asking you is to listen attentively to him. Hear his voice. Then answer his questions. Then do what he's asking you to do. You will be supplied with what you are looking for. He ordered them to cast the net on the right side of the ship. The, the contrary side, what they had been casting it on. And then they who were going home empty-handed were enriched with a great drought of fishes. Here we have one, the orders Christ gave them and the promise annexed to those orders. Cast the net, there is such a place, and you shall find. There is a room in your house. There is a space in your life. There is an opportunity around you. It's only that you haven't seen it. There is a door for you to exit from the situation you are going through. Listen to him. He will tell you which side you should throw your net, and you will have enough fish, more than what you need, because he is the God who has plenty. He from whom nothing is hid, nor not the inhabitants under the waters, according to Job 26 verse 5, knew on what side of the ship the shore of fishes was, and to that side that he directs them. Notice the divine providence extends itself to the things most minute and contingent, and they are happy that now that they are happy that know how to take hints thence in the conduct of their affairs and acknowledge it in all their ways. The obedience of these orders and the good success of it, they obeyed the instruction from the Lord. They accepted. They did what they were instructed. How many times do we be instructed to do things and we don't do? How many times do we hear Jesus calling us but we don't respond? They responded because they knew that was Jesus. When they got the fish, that is when one of them said, "That is the Lord. That is the Lord." Because he knew that with their energy, with their effort, with their knowledge, with their skills, they were not able to get any fish the whole night. What is happening now? This is a miracle. Who can do such a miracle? Only Jesus. That is when they recognized that was Jesus, when they had received their supplies. We don't need to wait until we have miracles to acknowledge Jesus in our life. It is an encouragement to Christ ministers to continue their diligence in their work. One happy drought at Reth may be sufficient to repay many years of toil at the gospel's net. May God bless you. May God encourage you. I pray for you in Jesus' name. Amen.